All right, I'm Tanya in with Pastor Bruce today, and we're talking about names. So I will just give you a few of my names.
Okay.
I am known as Mother Person. That's what my boys call me.
Okay.
Honey from my hubby. Sissy and Pumpkin from my dad.
Okay.
And of course, Tanya. So I feel like I have a lot of names. And do you kind of get an understanding of who I am just based on those names?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Pumpkin, either because you love fall or it's your favorite coffee flavor, or you're a big fan of Charlie Brown and Linus and the Great Pumpkin.
Or all of the above.
All of the above. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. Names, I guess for me, Bruce. My wife calls me Brucey.
That's great.
And then she and I both refer to each other as Bubby.
That's adorable.
Yeah. That's something that started years ago when we were dating. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what the meaning of your name Tanya is? Do you know?
I don't. I used to know, but I forgot. I do know it is Russian.
Okay.
It's based from a movie called Dr. Zhivago.
Oh,
but
sure.
As far familiar. As what it means, I don't know. I don't know what it means.
Yeah. I looked it up, so I'm cheating. The name Bruce means the Willow Lands.
Okay.
And it's a Scottish origin, supposedly tied to, you know, Robert the Bruce, if you're a Braveheart fan.
Yes, I love Braveheart.
But it's interesting when it comes to names. I know people that are very, very, very methodical when selecting names for their children.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes they want to pick a name that has a meaning that they are really just praying that over their children.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Okay.
Okay. Tanya, yes, I see that hand.
Tanya means praiseworthy or priceless, fairy queen or princess.
Okay.
I would have to agree with that because I'm very much a princess.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong
so,
with that.
So, absolutely. So, a jewel to be treasured by your family.
Yeah,
so,
sure. So, today we're talking about the names of God. It reveals his character and who he is. So, this first verse I want to kind of dive into, and I'll let you just expand upon it. Psalm 148, 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens.
And names are important. They really are. One, they identify us,
yeah.
Right? So, if I'm in a room, you know, and we've been to larger, work social events together, you know, our paths have crossed, and I see you across the room, it's like, oh, there's Tanya. Okay. Mm-hmm. By our names, we can identify one another.
Yeah.
But names are also part of explaining who we are. And when it comes to God, there is no one more important that we have a proper understanding of who God is. Mm-hmm. Because if we have the wrong view of God, that could drastically change our level of interaction, our level of commitment to, and whether or not we even have a desire to give God a place in our life. Mm-hmm. And so these names of God that we're going to look at are, and we're not going to get through all of them. There's so many. You know, I tell my students, you know, this is kind of a line I use. Hey, if you're looking for a great extra study, and then, you know, it could be fill in the blank. But a great study is just going through the names of God and the names of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, how the Holy Spirit is referenced with different names or titles as well in Scripture. And there are books out there that can help you. But, you know, as you go through those, hopefully that you learn the character of God. And as we said before, that, you know, as you get to know a person's character, you're either going to be drawn to them or you're going to be repelled by them. And so, you know, the hope is that as we look at these names of God, that we can see deeper into God's character to get the full, complete picture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this next verse, let's dive into this. Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless."
So let me ask you a question. So the name of God here is El Shaddai.
Yes.
And, you know, when you think of the word Almighty, Tanya, what comes to your mind?
Almighty, powerful. I see God on his throne in all of his majesty. That's what I think of when I hear that word Almighty.
You're familiar with the song, "There's nothing that our God cannot do," right? Mm-hmm. I didn't sing it right. I'm not a
That's
singer.
Okay, it's all good.
So there's nothing that our God can't do. Mm-hmm. There we go. Yeah. All right. And so here, this verse out of Genesis, again, Abraham and his wife were past the point where they should have been able to have children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what does God do because he's almighty? Not only is he going to give them a son, but he actually, in his promise to Abraham, says, "And from your descendants, I will make a great nation," mm-hmm. "and the world will be blessed." And so, you know, this is just one very simple example of that, you know, God granting a son to a couple that medically, culturally speaking, shouldn't have been able to have any children.
Right.
And if God can do something like that, there really is no limit to the all-powerfulness mm-hmm. that God has, that he is almighty. And because of that, yeah, all these names of God, you know, should draw us to a deeper level of praise because mm-hmm. he's worthy. You said your name means praiseworthy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Think of it this way. You're praiseworthy because you are a son of the king or a daughter of the king. Mm-hmm. You are God's creation. And so the God who made you is worthy of our praise.
So true. Okay, our next one. This is my favorite passage, I have to tell you, Bruce. Psalm 23. I'll just read a little bit of it. If you want to go deeper into that at home, you can do that. But it's Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." I love the picture that paints, knowing that the Lord is our shepherd. He watches out for us.
He does. He does. He's a protector. You know, you think of the role of a shepherd. The shepherd protects the sheep mm-hmm. from those who want to steal them or to predators that want to feast on them.
Right.
And so he protects us. But another important job of the shepherd is to constantly be leading the way for the sheep to have a place where they can find rest, where they can find food, where they can find nourishment. And so, yeah, again, Psalm 23 is just a beautiful picture and says, "Because the Lord is my shepherd," what is the next line? I shall not want.
Mm-hmm.
That the shepherd is a provider. So, and there's another name for God, Jehovah Jireh,
yes.
God provider.
Provider.
And it all fits together yeah. because all his character traits together form the perfect God who desires for us to know him personally.
Okay, our next one, Exodus 15:26. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought out of the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you."
Jehovah Rapha, the
Jehovah
Lord
Rapha.
That heals. And, you know, this concept of God, you know, his power to heal, you know, it can be kind of tricky, mm-hmm. right? You and I have shared stories just about our own moms, mm-hmm. how we watched their health decline.
Mm-hmm. And we prayed for healing.
We did.
We prayed for healing.
Yeah. You and I have that in common. We prayed and, you know, in the New Testament, the book of James says the prayer offered in faith. And so just personally for me, I have really learned that before I pray for something to just kind of stop and check myself and say, do I believe that God is able to do the things I'm about to pray for? Mm-hmm. And I think it's been an important part for me to make sure that I'm not just, you know, spitting out a bunch of words that don't have any faith to back it up. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I prayed for my mom and her health was in decline for years and years, and you know, I knew that God could if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when maybe in our minds or in the ways we would like him to heal, it doesn't always work out. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't change the fact that God is still a healer. And you know, you and I, as we were talking, you said, because for your mom, her healing didn't happen in this life.
It happened in eternity.
It did.
So in essence, God did say yes to my prayer of healing because she is completely perfect, completely whole, just not here, not here and now. And the beautiful part of it is like once I surrendered that fear of her not getting healed for my own fleshly pleasure, I guess, I wanted to keep her here, God released me of that bitterness. And so it's something beautiful when you can kind of reframe that and shift from thinking, I want this healing here on earth, when God's like, I'm going to give her ultimate eternal healing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the, I don't know if it's a misconception, but I think that isn't the right word. It's a refocus. I think sometimes we can focus on physical healing that we'll experience here.
Yes.
But where God also comes in as the one who heals is the greatest healing we need is to be healed from our sin.
Yeah. Spiritual healing.
It does. You know, the Bible makes it very, very clear that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God and that we're all sinners and there's nothing that we can do. There's no amount of good works. Mm-hmm. There's no amount of money that we can give to the best charities in the world that can ever be the payment for our sin. Mm-hmm. And that penalty of sin is death because God is a righteous and holy God. And so there has to be a penalty for the sinfulness. But that's where God, the healer, So Jehovah Rapha comes in as he provides the healing we need from our sin in a way that we can never duplicate or pay ourselves. And that was the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, who mm-hmm. left heaven, came down, took on the form of man for the purpose of dying on the cross and rising again 3 days later so that we could be forgiven, we could be healed of our sin and be restored and redeemed in that relationship with him.
I love that. Our next one is Ezekiel 48:35. This is beautiful. It says, and the name of the city from the time on will be the Lord is there. The Lord is there. He's present.
Jehovah Shammah.
Say that one more time.
Jehovah Shammah.
Jehovah Shammah.
Yeah. And this is one name that just has this one occurrence in the Bible, in this Ezekiel passage. And, you know, as we've had, you know, 6, 7, 8 months of No Fear Fridays,
right.
You know, we, one of the things that we've talked about before is the fear of being isolated, mm-hmm. you know, and things that have happened worldwide in the last few years has only, you know, made isolation easier. But we are still seeing people who are still struggling with the effects of being isolated from world events, or just, mm-hmm. you know, even take away those. Isolation isn't anything new to the last, mm-hmm. you know, 3, 4, 5 years.
Right.
And so this name of God, the Lord is there, I think is so important to remember. Because even if we feel like we don't have other people in our life that care about us, mm-hmm. And it's usually not true. At least I hope it's not true. I would hope that most of us can say that there's at least one person, but that there are cases where people may truly feel alone. That despite that, we have a God who is there for us. Mm-hmm. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And then even the flip side of that, you know, the psalmist writes, where can I go from your presence? Where can I hide from your love? That even if we try to distance ourselves from God,
You can't do it.
No, and God is a pursuer. Mm-hmm. He pursues us because he wants us to know him. He wants us to experience the blessings of a relationship with him. And so this name, the God is there, is so important for us to remember.
So out of all of the names, which one rings true to you in your life? For me, it's the Lord is my shepherd. I see that time and time again, how he's my protector. He's my provider. He's there for me. It's a gentle, beautiful relationship, seeing that he's my shepherd. How about you?
Yeah, no, boy, I should have an answer like right there. There are so many. I would say of the ones that we've talked about today, the Lord being there, and the Lord being our righteous Savior.
Yes.
Because I'd have to, am I allowed to have two?
Sure.
Favorite? Okay.
I will allow it.
Thank you. See, so you're so gracious. So those two, because without, you know, him being our righteous Savior, I would have no hope past this life.
Yeah.
And the fact that God is there, I know that even on my hardest days, my darkest days, which, you know, I know looking back, you know, is probably very, very minuscule compared to many people who may even be listening to us now, what they've gone through,
right,
is that I can have the hope that Almighty God is there present with me through everything.
It's beautiful. Pastor Bruce, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tanya.
Thanks.